Good morning. Today's Daf and Ksuvos Pei Tes. We're on the Mishnah. We're going to be starting at the very bottom of Pei Ches Amud Beis. The Mishnah over here is going to deal with a really simple issue, but unfortunately, as we're going to be seeing over the course of today's Daf, a simple issue with not the simplest solution. Okay, it's a very simple procedure of now debt collection. The ninth parak here has been focused primarily on debt collection. In other words, Ksuva is a debt. It's an interesting debt, by the way. We point this out already a number of times. That the ksuva, unlike a regular debt, in other words, in terms of regular debt, the regular debt is represented usually by money headed from the creditor to the debtor. So now the debtor's indebted because he was given money. By the ksuva, it's not that way. By the ksuva, so in other words, the debt that's created by ksuva is just simply there to provide for her assurances that in the event of death or divorce, so you will be financially taken care of and insecured. And on top of that, the ksuva also there is to provide a little bit of an incentive for the husband not to divorce his wife. Okay, so it's an unusual form of debt in that the debt is not actually created by money; it's created by just simply making yourself indebted. Okay, fine, but that's it. That's the nature of ksuva and the debt of ksuva. But here in the ninth parak of the Masechta, so we've been focusing primarily on this thing called debt collection, meaning okay, now that there's a debt, so there's a question of how to collect the debt. So over here in our Mishnah and our Gemara today, so we're going to be dealing with a really straightforward and simple issue, which as we're going to see, the resolution is not going to be that simple, and that is new. What's the process? What's the procedure in which she's actually going to go ahead and she's going to collect the debt? What does she do? So let's talk, before we get to the case of Ksuva, let's talk normally. Normally what happens in terms of debt collection, it's actually really simple. And that is that if I'm a creditor and I lend you money, so we're going to be writing a shtar, we're going to be writing a note, I'm going to be holding on to that note. That makes me the note holder. And now, when the loan is due, so I'm going to take it to Beis Din. Well, hopefully we don't have to go there. You just simply pay me back. But you'll pay me back the loan, and I'll give you the note, and you'll destroy the note, and we're done. And Mazel Tov, and you know, it was a pleasure doing business with you. Business or chesed, you know, in other words, whatever the funds were there for. So anyway. So that's normally what happens. And if the debtor is a little bit resistant in terms of paying back the loan for whatever reason, so we'll go to Beis Din. And in Beis Din, same thing. I'll simply hold the note up and I'll say, no, he needs to pay me. And here's my note. And the debtor will say, okay, sorry. I should have paid him. Okay. But now, of course, here in court, I'm totally ready to pay him. But in other words, the point, however, is really simple, and that is that when you're from the perspective of the lender, the note is really what's going to assure you that you're going to get paid back. The note is going to be the vehicle in which you're going to have the evidence necessary in order to get paid back. It's really simple. That part's very straightforward. Okay, now we turn to Ksuva, and here's where it's going to get a little bit more complicated. Okay, a lot complicated. And that is that does a woman have an actual physical paper of a ksuva? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Why should that be? Because as we already pointed out, the ksuva is not your traditional, it's not your classic note of indebtedness. In other words, the ksuva is not where, oh, here's money and let's now write a note. The woman at the marriage does not give him money and then he says, oh, okay, fine, now I owe you money. No, the ksuva is simply an obligation. That I'm going to indebt myself for the reasons that we already articulated above. So do you have to actually write the physical document? No. Not only that, but what is a ksuva? A ksuva is what's called a maisa beis din, meaning that this is a legal structure that was instituted by, we already saw various beis dins tinker with this institution. Just a couple days ago, we saw the beis din of Shimon ben Shetach, who created further institutions when it comes to ksuva. But to say it simply, ksuva is maisa beis din. Now, if ksuva is maisa beis din, so that means that the obligation is there whether there is or there isn't a physical piece of paper. So that means to say that the ksuva obligation is not going to be predicate on the actual paper itself. Okay, now that we're here, now you can imagine things are going to get complicated. Because what's going to happen upon death or divorce, right? Let's start with divorce. Okay. Death is actually more complicated, but let's start with divorce. Okay. So now we're at the point of divorce. And now she's like, okay. She knocks on his door after the get, and after the get was renter. She knocks on the door and she says, look, hi, right, how's it going? You never paid me your ksuva, right? So, and he says, okay, fine, let's go to court. And they go to court. And now how does it look now in court? So if no ksuva was ever written, so how, what proof does now she bring into the courtroom to show that she either did or did not get paid the ksuva? If there's no physical paper that's written, so now how does she get paid? Okay, that's one simple question. Let's ask another simple question. Let's say she did get paid and she knocks on his door and she says, hi, you didn't pay me your ksuva. He's like, I did, remember? And then they go to court. And now in the courtroom, she says he didn't pay me my ksuva. And his counter argument, thank you. And his counter argument is that, no, I did pay you the ksuva. So now, what's to protect him from not having to pay the ksuva a second time? Whatever proof she brought the first time that she got paid the ksuva, if there's no physical ksuva document, so why can't she just go to court again in order to get money from him again? Okay. So these are really, now that we know that the ksuva document does not actually have to be physically written, so now what is the means, what's the process of collecting the ksuva payment? It's a really simple question. And as we're going to see over the course of today's daf, the answer is not as straightforward. Really, what you have to do is you have to follow one amora. There are going to be multiple presentations in terms of how this process is done. The Mishnah itself is going to give some clarity on the issue. But really, the Amoraim, each one of them stake a position in terms of what is the process, what's the procedure, and Shalom al Yisrael. So even though the daf itself is short, but nevertheless, in terms of the solution to this problem, it's not going to be one solution to this problem. So far, so good. Let's go. We start with the Mishnah. Let me also preview our Mishnah. I know I just gave a 10-minute preview. Let me just preview the Mishnah by just pointing out the following. As far as the writing of a ksuva is concerned, so as I pointed out, you don't have to write the ksuva, but what did people do? The answer is yesh v'yesh. Some communities had the minhag of writing ksuvas, and some communities did not have the minhag of writing ksuvas. Again, the ksuva obligation is going to be there even if you don't write a ksuva. It's a ma'isa bezdin. So that means to say that you don't have to write it. But what did people do? The answer is some communities did, some communities didn't. I always struggle to understand how you can get away not writing a ksuva. I'm just sharing with you my own personal issues, so to say. They're not my personal issues. But like, in other words, I just have a difficult time understanding or imagining how you don't write a ksuva. Because the ksuva, as we have now, we're 90 blot into the Masechta. The ksuva is not just reflective of the Mana Masayim. Meaning that there's a cash settlement at the end of the marriage of 100, 200, whether she is a ba'ula basula. Good. That's what we've been discussing over the course of the last 3 months. That part I get. However, the ksuva is much more than that. The ksuva also is going to have, for example, nichse malog. I take that back. Right? I'm going to edit. Nichse tzon barzel. The ksuva is now going to also have written into the document itself, if she brings assets into the marriage, that she wants to be assured that she is going to be fully protected for the appraised values of those assets. So then they'll do an appraisal at the wedding and they'll write that in the ksuva itself. So what happened over here? There was no nichse tzon barzel. Like, how is that going to be reflected? Is that written on another piece of paper? That's one issue that I don't understand. Additional to that, we also learned over the course of this masechta nedunya. In other words, that she's going to go into the marriage with a dowry. Her father's going to give her a dowry. He doesn't have to, but it's absolutely recommended. We talked about amounts that the father should be giving as a dowry. We talked about percentage of the estate. There's a dowry that's going to be written to the ksuva. Now, that dowry that's written to the ksuva, if the custom is not to write a ksuva, so where are you writing up this dowry? Meaning, where is that going to be reflected? So I'm curious, and I don't know the answers, meaning in Makamos, in the places where they don't write a ksuva, where's the nichse tzon barzel going to be reflected? Where's the dowry going to be reflected? Like, there are other line items that go into the ksuva where if you're not writing the physical document, what is it? It's a supplemental? It's an addendum? Okay. Sorry, I don't know the answer, but that just, I think it's strange that, you know, in other words, the ksuva usually doesn't just represent mana umasayim. Okay. No, right. In other words, in the Makomos, right. Phil's asking, and this I can answer. But Phil's asking wonderfully, meaning that you can't live with your wife without a ksuva. Right. So in a makom where you write a ksuva, so there needs to be a physical document representing the ksuva. But in a makom she'ein kosen ksuva, it's not that the ksuva doesn't exist. Meaning the ksuva exists, it's just a virtual ksuva. Meaning it's a maisa beisdin. Beisdin demands that you now are ksuva obligated to your wife. And it just happens to be that the minhag is not to write it, but there's a virtual ksuva that exists. And so you write, I'm not saying this try to be cute, but it's up in the cloud. It's virtual. It's a virtual ksuva. Okay. But the, with that stated, so now let's learn the Mishnah together. So, I presented the problem in terms of what evidence and proof does she need in order to collect her ksuva. So what we'll do is the following. We're going to read the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah is going to give us a clue, but the truth of the matter is that we have to wait till the Gemara to really see this even clearer. So the Mishnah starts off, we're in the very bottom of Peches Amud Beis. Okay, that's got to have been my longest introduction. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Okay, the Mishnah starts on the bottom of Peches Amud Beis. So it's the Aged Veini Moksuva. So let's say the following, that they're in Beis Din, and she says, look, you got to pay me ksuva. And what does she do? She brings out the get. In other words, obviously, if she's a divorced woman, there's no virtual get. In other words, we all know a get is a document that needs to be written. The only evidence that, forget evidence. The only way that a woman could get divorced is only via a get. In other words, she needs the actual physical piece of paper that has to be written. We're going to be spending a mesechta talking about the process and procedure of writing the get. But there, it has to be a written document. So, hotzia get. So she takes out the get. Ve'inim uksuva. But she says, as far as the ksuva is concerned, I don't know where it is. Oh, I even said too much. In other words, she, for whatever reason, she doesn't have a ksuva. So go ve'ksuvasa. So the Mishnah says, okay. That's going to be proof. That'll be proof sufficient. That'll be proof positive that she still owed a ksuva, and therefore she's going to get a paid a ksuva. Again, a lot to flesh out in the Mishnah, but what the Mishnah is telling us is that all she needs to do is just bring a get into the courtroom, and that's sufficient. And even though she doesn't have a ksuva, she's still going to get her ksuva payment. Okay, hold, because obviously that needs to be clarified. We're going to clarify it. So ksuva ve'inima get, but let's go in the other direction. Where she goes to the courtroom, and what does she do? She actually has a ksuva. She has a written ksuva, but she has no get. Okay, now that's called a problem. So he amers avagiti vuhu amar avachovri. Now, in the Mishnah, so claim, counterclaim. So, Nu, you're looking to get your ksuva payment. And I see you have your ksuva document. That's great. But, you know, you need a get in order to collect your ksuva payment. Right, the ksuva payment is only due post gittin. So over here, do you have a get? She said, no, avad gitti. No, I lost it. Right, I had it, but I lost it. And he says, oh, that's funny. Avad shovri. I had a receipt when I paid the ksuva. So I was given a receipt that I paid the ksuva, and I lost my receipt. Okay, so v'chein b'chov v'hotzi shtar chov and enim oprusbom. Okay, timing of this Mishnah is phenomenal. So let's say you had a creditor who goes over to the debtor and says, "Nu, here's the shtar chov, but I understand that we just went through a Shemitah year, and I understand that without a prizbal, that will result in the cancellation of the loan, and I understand that a prizbal document has to be written up, and and once again." Same argument, counter argument, where he says, look, I had the principal document, lost it. And he counters by saying, oh, so, right, I had a receipt, I lost it. So, hare elo lo yiparu. So, in these circumstances, so payment is not going to be given. So, the payment is not going to be made. Okay, so basically, now, if we can look at our Mishnah, okay, let's just ignore the case of the prizbal. So, isn't it funny in how it comes out now in the Mishnah? In other words, that when she brings her get document without her, without the actual ksuva document, that will allow her to get paid, her ksuva payment. But if she brings her ksuva document without her get document, so that will not allow her to get paid. That's a funny conclusion. Again, we're going to process it even better as we go to the Gemara, but that's really what we just learned in our Mishnah. And then finally, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, min asakana ve'elech, during the times of Rav Shimon Gamliel. So unfortunately, there were Roman decrees, and the Roman decrees were not to observe various mitzvos, included in which is that we weren't allowed to write gittin, and we weren't allowed to write a prosbol. So those are both mitzvos, and so there were historical periods where these documents cannot be written. So isha gov v'ksuva shelo beget u'balchov gov v'shelo beprosbol. So that means to say that what we have to assume now is that the documents, of course, were written, meaning a woman can't get divorced without a get, but immediately after the get was written and issued to her, so then immediately was destroyed. So there, an explanation of why isn't there a get, we have a really good explanation. It's unfortunately because of the current decrees of the time, the Roman decrees during Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So that's why there was no get document. Similarly, prosbol, right? Prosbol, the writing of a prosbol also is a takana de rabbanan. The Gemara and Gittin, we're going to do it in much better detail. Daf lamed vav lamed zayin. So we're going to go through the process of prosbol. Anyway, so the prosbol also is a mitzvah. And so the reason why these documents right now are not here present in the courtroom is simply because of the governmental decrees. Okay, so then we have a really good explanation of why there's no get and why there's no prosbol. Okay, good. So far, what we learned in our Mishnah is that what she needs to do in order to be able to collect her ksuva payment is simply present the get. Now, Shema Mina, Kostin Shover. So immediately the Gemara jumps on the Mishnah, pounces on the Mishnah, and that is, do we write a receipt or do we not write a receipt? Okay, we go through this so many times throughout Chas. This is a standard debate in the Gemara, right? The receipt talk, right? And I feel like we did it pretty recently here in Ksuvos, and in today's daf, we get to do it again. And that is, do you or do you not write a receipt? Okay, now, what's the big deal, right? Every time you buy something, so a receipt's written for you. And nowadays, not even written, by the way, sent electronically. But anyway, but what's the big deal? So the big deal is that when you write a receipt, you're creating a responsibility. In other words, now, what's going to happen is that if you subscribe to the idea of Koster and Shover, that you write a receipt, so now what that means is that once the debtor pays back his debt, and now in order to prove that he paid back his debt, so you simply write a receipt for him. All that is going to do is create further responsibility that any time that the creditor comes at him, the only way he's going to be able to defend himself is only by holding and showing the receipt. Okay, so some are of the opinion of as a blanket rule, ain't coaster and chauffeur, you don't write a receipt. So well, how do you conclude any loan? Very simple. Give me the note. Let's see. Let's tear up the note. Okay, but you don't write receipts. On the other hand, some other Tanaim are very comfortable with the idea of writing receipts. Okay, so what the Gemara now is jumping on our Mishnah, pouncing on our Mishnah, and saying, what do you see from our Mishnah? There has to be only one conclusion, and that is our Mishnah is going to be a proponent of writing receipts. You see that in our Mishnah. Why? Because what just happened? We went into this courtroom, and what evidence did she show? Her get. That's it. She just showed her get. And Basin goes, says, okay, good, no, okay, now you have to pay her. So now, why are we concerned that what she could easily do is just simply go into another courtroom and say, oh, by the way, here's the get, and here's the ksuva, which she, at this point in time, has not been, you know, she's had it the whole time, she just hasn't shown it. And now, what is she doing with her ksuva note? So she's looking to collect her ksuva, but in this case, right, disingenuously, she's looking now to collect it a second time. So what's the only way we could protect the husband is by writing him a receipt. You see from our Mishnah that we do write receipts. So the Gemara says, I'm a Rav. So the Gemara now is going to deflect, right? The way the receipt talk works almost every time is that we seem to have either a Tana, a Mishnah, or a Brisa that seems to indicate that there's only one way to say it, and then the Gemara is going to backtrack. Nah, you don't have to say that. Over here, the Gemara says, not necessarily. I'm a Rav. No, the Ravs of the position that, no, I'll tell you, what we're describing over here. Why aren't we worried that she's going to go ahead and take him to another Beis Din in order to show off the ksuva? Because we're talking about a place where we don't write ksuvas. Okay, go back to my introduction of the Mishnah, as we already discussed back in the introduction. It's very possible that ksuvas were not written. Certain communities just didn't write a ksuva. Okay, so and that's why we're not worried, and that's why no receipt needs to be written. Ushmul amar v'makom shekosvim ksuva. So the Gemara says ulishmul kosvim shover. So the Gemara says no. Shmuel's talking about where our Mishnah could be talking about where the minig is to write a ksuva. So according to Shmuel, let's reset the question. If ksuvas were written, and she can collect her ksuva payment using just her get and get alone, so why aren't we worried that she'll just simply walk into a second Beis Din and say, look, that man over there needs to pay me my ksuva, here's my get, and here's my actual ksuva document. So why aren't we worried about a second collection? So Ravanan says, as far as Shmuel's position is concerned, I know his position. And that is the following. What's the position? What's the position of Shmuel? The Gemara explains. B'makom shein kosvin. So you have to look at what the current minhag of our particular community is. And again, some communities do and some communities do not write a ksuva. So b'makom shein kosvin. If the minhag of the community is not to write, v'amar kasafti, and he says to the Beis Din, I know our minhag is not to write a ksuva. However he explains it. I got a Masada Kedushin from out of town. Whatever. Whatever his explanation is, I wrote her a ksuva. So now, who has the burden of proof? Obviously, the husband. Why? Because he's running counter the locally accepted minhag. So I love Lavi Araya. Emma Makam Shekosvin. Now, if the prevalent minhag is to write a ksuva, so now what do you do? So now, if the prevalent minhag is to write a ksuva, and she's coming to the Beis Din, and she says, I don't have a ksuva, right? In other words, this is a Maisa Beis Din. I don't need a ksuva. Yes, that's true, but the prevalent minhag here, locally, is to write a ksuva. So now, aleha, b'makom shekosvin v'amar lo kasavli, aleha lahavi raya. So now the burden of proof is going to be on her. Okay, so what comes out now is as follows, is that in our Mishnah, so our Mishnah that allows a woman to collect a get, and with only just a get alone, and no other form of proof. So how does that work? So first let's start with Shmuel. Shmuel will tell you, depends on what the minig is. In other words, in a mukum where a ksuva is written, so now, the burden of proof is on her. Why doesn't she have a ksuva? And in a makam where there is no ksuva that's written, okay, fine. And he claims that there was a ksuva, so the burden of proof is on him. Good. And as far as our Mishnah is concerned, our Mishnah is now talking about a case where the general minhag is not to write a ksuva. Fine. But in other words, but for Shmuel's perspective, there's no need to write a shofar. Good. And now, where's Rav stand on this? So right now we have Rav saying that the only way to interpret our Mishnah is b'makom she'in kosin ksuva. Okay, so v'af Rav hadar bei, and Rav retracted, Rav recanted, meaning Rav ended up agreeing to Shmuel that even if the makom is not to write a ksuva, she can go ahead and she can collect. I'm sorry, even if the minhag is we do write a ksuva, she could still collect without a ksuva. How do I know that? I'm a Rav, bein b'makom shekosvin, bein b'makom shein kosvin. So get gove ikar. And kesuva gove tosefes v'chol arutz lahashiv yashiv yashiv. So because Rav made the following statement that it doesn't matter whether the minhag is to write or not to write a ksuva, what she can always do at the end of the marriage is that she'll go to the Beis Din, she'll bring the get, and she will be entitled to receive ksuva payment. So even if the minhag is not to write a ksuva, even if the minhag is to write a ksuva, she can still collect her ksuva payment without the actual physical paper. What is she entitled to? She can always receive the base amount of manim asayim, 100, 200. Then if there was tosefes, so then she's going to need to bring her ksuva document. Okay. And then Rav concluded by saying, and no, by the way, fight me on this issue, right? Right. That's called arutz lahashiv yavo v'yashiv. Like, in other words, I'm ready to duke it out with anyone who is not interested in hearing my position. So the Gemara says, fine, Tanan. The Gemara says, okay, let's go. And that is ksuva v'ini maged. He omeres avagiti v'hu omer avachovri v'chein bebachov shauti shtarchov v'ini mopruzbol hare elo liparu. So now what happened in our Mishnah, second half of the Mishnah, where she comes in with the ksuva, but not the get. And now, what are the arguments? She says, all right, I had the get, I just lost it. He said, oh, that's funny. I had a shover, but I lost it. So now, Bishlam al-Shmuel. Now, for Shmuel's perspective, so Mukla b'makam shein kosvin. So now, what Shmuel will tell you is that, look, the second half of the Mishnah is talking about a makam shein kosvin. Remember, according to Shmuel, yesh v'yesh, certain communities. And v'amar kasafti. And the husband said, I wrote her a ksuva, running counter to the accepted local minug. Amrina le Isiraya. Vilo Isiraya Amrina le Zopare. Where now, once he runs counter to what the accepted minug is, so now remember, what did Shmuel say? I love Lahavi Raya. Burden of proof is now going to be on him. But El Rav, but according to Rav Nihide Kalogavya, but remember, from Rav's standpoint, whether the minig is to write or not to write iksuva, but Nihide Kalogavya Tosefes Miatigbe. So the Gemara says but if you're bringing in the actual iksuva document, doesn't that allow you to at least go ahead and to collect the Tosefes? Remember, from Rav's standpoint, she could have collected the base amount with or without iksuva. What does the ksuva add then? The Tosefis, if there's a Tosefis. Why doesn't our Mishnah now allow her at least to collect the Tosefis with the ksuva that she brought in? So I'm Rav Yosef Hachma Maiskina. So the Gemara says, in defense of Rav, here's what we're going to say. Our Mishnah is talking about the following, Ein Sham Ede Gerushin. In other words, right now, she doesn't have a get, and she doesn't even have Ede Gerushin. She has no evidence that she was divorced. Where now he could say, look, I didn't divorce her. So basically now at this point in time, he has leverage. Because what he could just simply say is, look, she didn't bring a get into the courtroom. She didn't even bring a digerishin into the courtroom. At this point in time, now what do I have? All right, I could just simply say, what are you talking about? We never even got a divorce. Okay. And Masha Einkein, fine, I'll just leave it at that. And since he could say that, obviously then he doesn't pay ksuva because he doesn't know ksuva. So then, because he could say that, he can also now say, by the way, you don't have a get, you don't have a day gittin, I paid your ksuva. All right? And under normal circumstances, it's not going to be believed. But over here, because she doesn't have a get, because she doesn't have a day gerushin, and because now that could lead him to the claim of, I didn't even divorce you, so now, migu. Now he's going to be believed. Okay, this little piece of Gemara over here is difficult because we've seen already numerous times throughout the Gemara, a woman would not have the chutzpah to simply say to her husband that you divorced me unless it were actually true. Okay, anyway, let's leave it at that. The Hamidik Tani Sefer. So now we're on Peitas Amud Beis. Now Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel Omer Minasa Kana VeElech. So the Gemara says, okay, so now remember the end of the Mishnah? So during Roman persecution where people did not have a get. In other words, you wrote the get, you immediately destroyed it, so the Romans didn't find out about it. So under those circumstances now, how do you allow for ksuva collection? It's very simple. You just allow for ksuva collection. But the Gemara says, but if I don't have a get, and I don't have a de gerushin, so now what is going to be the means, the proof necessary in order for her to collect? So the Gemara says, what we'll do is that we'll just simply iron out the Mishnah. The entire Mishnah is going like the Rashbag, and hare elu lo yiparu. And here's how we're going to learn the Mishnah. So she brings the ksuva out, and she doesn't have a get. So she is not going to get paid by medvar mom kishen sham ed gerushin, but that's of course only when there are no ed gerushin. If a yesham ed gerushin, so gavya tosefes. So now with the aid to Gerushin, so now she can collect. She can at least collect the Tosefes. So Tosefes Vikar. She can collect both the additional amount and also the base amount as well. V'imafke gita gavya. Meaning, but that's of course only if she has the actual get itself. V'imafke gita lo gavya. So, but without a get, she simply won't be able to collect. But in other words, but after Roman persecution, where women are no longer going to be expected to be able to hold on to her get, so then even if she doesn't take out her get, okay, fine. So in other words, the entire mission now is in fact going like the Shita of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Okay, so where are we right now? So, as far as the Hamad of our Mishnah, we're on Pei Tesamud Beis, we're about a quarter of the way down, and now basically what we have is the following. We start with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that if you bring in a get, the woman brings in a get without a ksuva, she can go ahead and she can collect her ksuva payment. If she brings in a ksuva but without a get, she can't go ahead and she can't collect her ksuva payment. Now, what way do we have to protect the husband from not being claimed on two times in a row? So presumably the answer is that he was written a shover. That could be an easy way to present it. However, that gets us into the debate, the long-standing debate of whether we do or we do not write receipts. And so what the Gemara is now offering as an alternative way to say our Mishnah is that maybe no receipts are going to be written. So if no receipts are going to be written, so how are we going to go ahead and we're going to protect the husband? Hold that thought. We're going to get back there. Meaning that still is a question that needs to be answered. But as far as our Mishnah is concerned, the one way so far that we've seen our Mishnah is that according to Shmuel, mekamos, there are various minhagim in terms of whether the ksuva was written or whether the ksuva wasn't written. As far as our Mishnah is concerned, so it just simply depends on what the makam was and what the claim was. If the minhagim makam was to write a ksuva, and he says, and she says, that's funny. Even though the minhag was to write a ksuva, at our chasna we didn't write a ksuva. Burden of proof now comes on her. Under those circumstances, she needs to bring a ksuva. If on the other hand, the minhag makom was not to write a ksuva, and he's claiming, oh, that's funny, we wrote a ksuva, so then the burden of proof is on him, and that is how Shmuel will go back and interpret our Mishnah. Okay. And as far as Rav is concerned, unclear where Rav stands, meaning Rav first thought that maybe our Mishnah is only talking about a case where the makom of the minhag was not to write a ksuva, and then Rav recanted from that position. Okay, seemingly going in line with Shmuel. Okay, we are Pei Tesamud Beis. Armele Rav Kana v'Rav Asi l'Rav Liditcha d'Amar get gova ikar amana minan esuim b'may gavya. Okay, so now let's ask some very simple questions according to Rav. According to Rav, when a woman brings in her get, that immediately entitles her to receive base amount of manam asayim. So according to Rav now, you have now a manam in anisuin. She's a widow. Okay. Obviously, she's entitled to collect her ksuva. Obviously, she doesn't have a get. Obviously. In other words, she's no longer married by virtue of the fact that her husband died. Now she goes into the courtroom. She's taking the estate to court because she would like to collect her ksuva. So, what is the vehicle that is going to allow her to collect it? B'may gavya. So, b'ei de misa. So the Gemara says, okay, witnesses of the death of her husband, or right to use modern terminology, a death certificate. Okay, not the same, but in other words, but she proof that the husband died. So the Gemara says, lechus demagirsha. So the Gemara says, okay. So the okay. In other words, how about this? How about in one courtroom she actually got a divorce and she brought again to one courtroom, and then after the divorce her husband died, and then another courtroom she'll bring in the death certificate again. What's there to protect them from her from stopping her from collecting twice? So the Gemara says, Dilma digirsha mafke legita vegavya bay, and so the Gemara says biyoshev estachas bala. So the Gemara says, well, in other words, we saw that they were together until his death. So the Gemara says, Dilma samach lemisa girsha. So ihu daafsin anafshe. So the Gemara says, well, it could very well be that they got a divorce right before he died. So the Gemara says, if that's true, So, in other words, so he's basically at fault. Meaning, if he divorced her immediately before he died, so in other words, that is one case scenario where we just simply can't. In other words, if she's not scrupulous, so yes. In other words, that would be a scenario in which she could in fact collect twice. Okay, so.
To avoid Yibum. And the whole family would know about it.
No, right. But again, Yibum over here is not the issue. The issue over here, well, first of all, she got a divorce right before death.
Yeah.
Right. So in other words, there is no mitzvah of Yibum. Over here,
that's
we're,
what I'm saying.
Yeah, so correct. We're
avoid
just...
Yibum.
Correct.
So
but
the whole family would be in on it.
Fair point. But in other words, but again, if we're talking about where she has no morals and she has no ethics, so what's to stop her from collecting twice? In other words, the first Beis Din, she'll bring in the get. That'll be evidence that she hasn't gotten paid yet. And she'll go to another Beis Din and bring in the death certificate. Okay. Nothing really can stop her under those circumstances from collecting twice. Basically, what comes out now from our Gemara today is that there are going to be circumstances where it's, in other words, we're going to try to prevent fraud. In other words, like any system, there's no way that we could stop fraud altogether. Okay, and let's just finish up the daf today. Amana mina erusin b'may gavya b'edemisa. So the Gemara says, okay, amana mina erusin. Now erusin over here, we're going to be here. There's no documentation. Meaning, now how do I know that an erusin gets a ksuva altogether? Hold that thought. That's going to be the end of today's daf. But meanwhile, here there's absolutely no documentation. So in other words, but for sure, there's going to be a divorce, meaning if in the event that she got divorced, so there's going to be a get. So she'll collect with her get, and then she'll collect a second time with a death certificate. So So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what I'm going to have to concede. I'll just simply concede that even if I generally subscribe to the idea that I don't write receipts, there are going to be times where there is exposure, there you run the risk of fraud, there are just simply no ways to systematically prevent it. Okay, so in those events, you write a receipt. The Gemara just simply concedes, there you're going to have to admit that there are times when we write receipts. Dilo temahachi, Ede misa gufayu nechashem amafka ede misa b'hai beidina v'gavi avadar mafka b'veidina achrina v'gavi alavadai makam delo afshar kasvin ishover. The Gemara says, look, I'm telling you that you write receipts. You have, there are a simple example where, let's say it was she's an amana. And now what does she go? She goes to this courtroom with the ede misa and she says, look, my husband died and never got paid ksuva. And here are the witnesses who said that he died. Okay. And what she and now the estate goes ahead and pays her the ksuva. And she goes into another courtroom. Now, they're ede misa. There's no way you can mark up the ede misa. And as opposed to a get, by the way, which in just a moment we're going to mark up the get and say that, this get was already used in order to collect her ksuva. You can't do that with ede misa. So now the only way to protect the estate is by writing them a receipt. Okay? The Gemara just simply acknowledges that even if I hold that you don't write receipts, there are occasions where you write receipts. Okay, so now, for the rest of this daf, we'll do this quickly, and that is, Amana mina erusin. She gets a base ksuva. Like, how do I know that? So the Gemara says, I have a couple of Mishnahs that show you. So we're going to go back to a Mishnah, taking us back to daf mem zayin. Mem Zayin, by the way, is like a cornerstone daf here in this Masechta, right? So many basic halachas come out from Mem Zayin. So Nitzamlin is Garsha Min Erusin, Beimin Nisuin Go Vesikol. So if she is a widow or divorced from Erusin, from Nisuin, she collects everything. So the Gemara says, Dama de Kasavla. So the Gemara says, that doesn't tell me that there's a default ksuva from Erusin. I don't know, maybe that case over there is where he actually explicitly wrote it. V'chitem ha'kasav la'amai la'memra. Well, if he wrote a ksuva, so then, no, give me a chiddush. So la'afu give me the revelazim ben Azariah. Da'amar shalo kasav la'al amanashu konsa. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you the chiddush, and that is, is that there's the Shita of Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Rav Elazar ben Azariah says that when a ksuva is written during Erusin, it's not yet binding. Rav Elazar ben Azariah is of the position that the ksuva written during Erusin is conditional to the actual marriage. So I need a Mishnah to tell me that there are a group of Tanaim who don't agree with Rav Elazar ben Azariah. That's called the Chiddush. Diktani. Govez, they call the Ihamar Bisham de Kasavla, Bisham Hachi, Govez, I'm sorry. Lafukim de Rav Elazar ben Azariah, the Amar, Shalok Kasavla Amanashu Konta. Ah, take a Nami. Okay. The Gemara says, look, we're right. We're right about this understanding. Because Diktani, because what does the Mishnah say? Govez, they call. Iyamar bisham dekasav la misham hachi gavazakol el iyamar delokasav la my gavazakol mana masayim hu deisle, meaning there has to have been an actual ksuva that's written, because when the Mishnah says gavazakol, meaning if there's no ksuva, you know what everything is? Everything is the base amount of 100, 200. The language of gavazakol is not the appropriate language. It must mean that there was an actual physical ksuva that was written during Erusin, which represents not only the base amount, but on top of that, the Tosefis as well. Okay. Ve'ela, so again, Amana Minha Erusin is getting a ksuva, entitled to a ksuva. Give me a source. So the Gemara says, okay, here's our second attempt. And that is the following. Ela, Midni Rav Chiya Bar Avin. Ishto Arusa. Ah. Ishto Arusa Lo Onein Lo Mitamela Vehi Lo Anenes Lo Mitame Lo Mitamelo. And Mesa Eno Yorsha. And Mesu Govik Suvasa. Okay. Without going through the details of this Brisa we've seen already numerous times throughout the Masechta, I'm just going to focus on the end of the Brisa. The last part of the Brisa tells us what? That Mesu, that in the event that he dies, so she's collecting her Ksuva. And that's, of course, from Erusin. Okay. So Dilma, the Kasav, the Gemara says again, maybe there was an actual physical ksuva that was written. V'chitema, I Kasav, my Lamemra. So Mesa, in a Yorsha, it's the Rechlei. Yeah, I'll tell you what the Chiddush is, and that is that he is not Yorisher. Meaning, that's a Chiddush. Normally, a husband is Yorisher's wife. Only after Nisuin, but not after Erusin. That's called a Chiddush. So Amar Rav Amar Le Rav Nachman Le Rav Huna Le Rav Amar Getko VeIkar Lechus Dama Mafka Gita Bahi Beidin VeGavia VaHajer Mafka Beidin Achrin VeGavia. Okay, here's a question which we put on the back burner some time ago, but now let's take it off the back burner. According to Rav, right? Remember, we had a Mishnah. We had two ways of understanding the Mishnah: Rav and Shmuel. According to Rav, every single time she comes into the courtroom presenting her get, immediately that entitles her to the base amount of Mana Masayim. Okay? So how about this? She'll just simply go from Beis Din to Beis Din. I'll go to this Beis Din, I'll go to that Beis Din. And with every Beis Din that I go to, no. So the Gemara says, so what's to stop that from happening? V'chitema de Karina Le. And maybe what we'll do is the following. Oh, okay, fine. You want to collect your ksuva? Great. Here, give us your get. And we're going to tear it up. So she's going to protest, and she's going to say, Amra be'ina lan suvebe. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second, right? I want to get remarried. Right. And I know what's going to happen. I'm going to go to the courtroom, and I'm going to get remarried. They say, look, we know you were married previously. Did you get a get? Yeah, but they tore it up. Uh-oh, oh, okay. No, it's not okay. So the Gemara says, the Karina le kasinan agavye. So the Gemara says, okay, so what you'll do is the following. So you'll put a tear through the get, meaning you won't tear it up. You'll put a tear through the get, and over the tear, you'll write the following. And that is Gita Danan Karano Lamishum de Gita Pasahu Allah Dolotehade Vitik Bebe Zimnachrina. So look, you know why we put a tear through this get? Not because it's a pasul get. In other words, you're writing this on the actual get itself. It's an addendum that you're writing on the get. We tore it because she collected her ksuva, and we don't want her to collect a second time. Okay, and obviously now she can't patch up her actual get in order for her to collect a second time. She can't patch it up where it won't be unnoticeable. Okay, good. So what means now do we have in order to protect from a second collection? The answer actually is very simple. According to Rav, where a woman can go ahead and collect her base amount by simply presenting her get, so good. So give us the get. We put a tear in it. We write a receipt on it. Here's your get back. Good. Shalom Yisrael. Okay.